Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, everyone. We're here for public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
This is an important thing. We need to ban it. We need to stand tall. You've seen the evidence. Y'all are all capable of reading. There's been some fantastic people that have brought facts. And there's a lot of people that study this in depth. And they're to no advantage to us. It's just simply something that's going to come along and take from us. And what do we get out of it? Listen to you people. You represent us, and the people are screaming at you right now to ban data centers. Thank you.
It seems like some people don't like yes for an answer, but this is the yes which gets you there quickest to put a block on any potential application. If you go the regular route, you're going to have a window of exposure of several months, which you can... There's nothing you can do.
You know, Tom Danheiser does such a good job as the county attorney in Santa Rosa County, and all the people who were there in Santa Rosa yesterday. It was almost. I think it was everybody was opposed, but it didn't turn out to be like all the socialists didn't show up. They, I guess, couldn't figure out how to cross I-10 and get over the water. I figured they'd be there because they'd gone to this Gambie County Commission, City Council in Pensacola, and honest to God, the Pensacola Economic Development Commission, the council, the PEDC meeting, which is crazy. Nobody goes to the PEDC meeting. Anyway, so they did not show up in Santa Rosa County. It was only about 10 or 12 people that were there. They're all opposed to data centers, and they're also eager to tell them, don't do a moratorium, do a ban. Well, Tom Danheiser is explaining, hey, guys, if you do a ban, it's going to take at least 4 or 5 months for that to work its way through, like, the planning board and everything. But if you do a moratorium, it goes in as soon as the second meeting happens, which will be in a couple weeks. And then while the moratorium is in place, we can actually work on a ban. We don't have to wait until 12 months. We can do it 4 or 5 months in. Anyway, so my theory is it was a combination of ignorance, people not understanding this and not being willing to listen and be taught by Tom Danheiser, but also political. They hate Kerry Smith. Kerry Smith's the guy who's kind of behind this push to ban the data centers. And anything they can say to attack Kerry Smith is going to work to their advantage because they just want to get rid of him. So it's a combination of silliness and politics. But anyway, Bobby Burkett.
First and foremost, there has not been any conversation once again for about the thousandth time of Santa Rosa County entertaining a data center in our county.
Correct.
The power grid alone can't handle it.
Maybe depending on what you build, but
this is beat this dead horse and wasted more taxpayer money and time. It's almost like a 200-foot flag. Blows my mind. But here we are. Okay.
I don't want anybody to think that I'm raising a 200-foot flag here, though. That's okay, because it sounds like I'm getting compared to what James has done, and this is not what I'm trying to do.
It was not you. I was talking about a social misinformation network that puts all this junk out here, the reason we're out here to begin with.
But Bobby hates social media more than anybody I know, Bobby Burkett. That's Kerry Smith is the other voice.
If they had not jumped on the bandwagon and started junk that never happened, because nobody up here has entertained a data center. No data centers approached to us.
That's right.
Now, y'all welcome to talk about it. That's your First Amendment right. But if Social Misinformation Network hadn't put it out there to begin with, we wouldn't be having this conversation. That's all I'm saying. It's never been brought up here to put one here. And as long as I'm on the board, it will be 100% no to put one here.
I kind of love how the phrase Social Misinformation Network, which is the kind of thing that somebody who's angry and flustered is trying to get out in an argument, and they wind up putting words that don't really all work right together, and then they just stick with it. And he's just stuck with it as that's the brand. That's the thing that he's going to keep saying. I love it.
Thank you, Mr.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just interject.
Tom Danheiser again. who, by the way, almost never speaks unless deliberately directly asked a question. So I think he's kind of short timers because he's retiring soon. And I just think he's had it with some of this nonsense.
It's a 12-month moratorium. That doesn't mean the board has to wait 12 months before it adopts any permanent regulation. It just gives you the time to conduct the necessary review, to have a factual basis, which you can't just say, I want to ban Starbucks because I don't like them. That's not going to fly in court. As Mr. Curb knows, you have to have the professionals have the factual basis so you can survive any legal attack.
Right, and currently, the Land Development Code does not have anything to prohibit data centers, so if during the 4 or 5 months of going through the process of putting a real ban in place, suddenly somebody comes forward with one, there's nothing you can really do to stop it. And that's why a moratorium makes more sense. You put a moratorium in less than 12 months to avoid Burt Harris claim problems, and then in the next 5 or 6 or 7 months, you can actually fashion a ban and put that into place. It's not that – I think what people had in mind is that, they're only going to stop it for 12 months, and then after 12 months, it'll be, open range again. And it's not the way it's going to work. But he's trying to explain.
12 months doesn't in any way mean you have to wait 12 months. If you feel after 3 months you've had the necessary information, you send it to the planning board for their review, like all your other land development code regulations, and you're ready in 3, 4, 5, 6 months, you can proceed. This is like a preliminary emergency injunction.
By a judge, which he knows well.
Well, you get that quick if you're fortunate, but this board has the ability to do that, and then you have the longer court case for the final injunction. That's what this is. This gets a stop up the quickest way possible, period.
Yeah, it's a great analogy. He's exactly right. Temporary injunction and then a long-term actual ruling is what the ban would represent. We'll come back to this in a second because there were some other interesting things that got said along the way. Candy's got traffic on the 5.
And the good news is we're not showing any slowdowns right now. A few accidents to watch out for emergency crews maybe on scene. Independence Avenue in Pensacola. Now Navy and Inner Bay Avenue in Pensacola. Not showing any slowdowns or delays there, but an accident with maybe emergency crews on scene. Again, the causeway, I-10 near Mobile and the tunnel. Everything is cleared in that area. Shouldn't have any problems making your way that way. In fact, all I-10 reporting as clear. If you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620, you can call or text in. Shays Fashions, 3960 Navy Boulevard, going out of business, blowout sale. Men's, women's, children's, formals, and clothing today and Saturday. Business for sale also at Shays Fashions. Bringing you traffic on the 5s. I'm Candy with Traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, Candy. Rhett Rowell, Commissioner for District 3, brings up the point that defining data centers is actually kind of tricky. Is that one computer? Is it 10 computers? Is it 1,000? What exactly? Because, you don't want to run into the problem of defining out of legality something that's already being done. Like, there's a data center in the Santa Rosa County Commission building. It's a small one, but there is, and there's data centers in Pensacola already, just not the huge ones, the hyperscale ones.
So to me, I appreciate the concern and the fear, and I get it, and I'm with you, but to me, that's why this gives me peace about it, because we don't have, it's not like we're putting it off a year and then all of a sudden we open up the floodgates.
That's right. Ray Eddington, who was the one person who had voted against the moratorium because he wanted an outright ban at the time, which would have been premature.
Well, I was the only vote against it. I wanted to ban it permanent. I've done my research, and the way it looks, the 12 months, like Tom said, we could shorten it if we had to. We could ban it anytime.
Yeah, I mean, you can go 12 months on a moratorium and then fashion a ban, and that might go into place in 6 months. And again, I'm not advocating for a ban. I think all of this is silly. They're not coming to Santa Rosa County, and the idea of banning it is based on a lot of false information and propaganda to begin with, but that's a separate conversation. Colton Wright?
I had a number of questions. Well, how do we define a data center? What does it look like? We have a data center in this building. It's probably 800,000 square feet. We use data center to stream this meeting right now, and if anyone has an email
real quick, 800 to 1,000 square feet, not 800,000 square feet. I was just making sure that's
yeah, that's
rough
right.
Math. I didn't bust out the tape measure and do length times width to figure square footage, but just roughly, just eyeball it.
I'll make sure.
Not 800,000. Yes, that's correct. Not 800,000.
Not 800,000 square feet.
But if you have an email address, you've used a data center.
That's it. You use them all the time. And I've said this so many times, but it still bears repeating. For everybody who's against data centers, are you giving up your phone? Are you giving up your Netflix and your Hulu and your streaming Disney and Apple Plus? And are you giving up the ability to share videos on social media like you like to do of yourself presenting at the county commission on why data centers are bad using resources that are housed at data centers, you know? So this idea of a 12-month moratorium gives them time to get it right.
I would never be supportive of a data center or anything like that in the RPZ. It doesn't make sense.
The rural protection zone.
But I do worry about economic development because I think of someplace like, you know, Buffalo Rock. We just celebrated a ribbon cutting on that recently. They have the most automated system that we've seen in ever in beverage distribution. They have a lot of they have lots all types of electronics and data in there. So I think we have to be careful, and we just need to make sure we choose our words carefully when we start talking about data centers and economic development and business.
Right. You don't want to wind up banning something that's already being done or something that is beneficial because you listen too much to Jerry Cooey's screaming of the people, and screaming is not usually a good basis for public policy.
I completely understand people's concerns and fears about what could happen. I really do. But I did some research, and there were some fears at one point about a device, a piece of machinery. There was a major threat to pedestrians, bicyclists, caused a lot of traffic deaths. Children were killed. It spooked horses. It was noisy. It upset the farmers. It was expensive. It's the very thing we all came and showed up at this building today, and that's the automobile. There was a ridiculous amount of fear, and some of it made sense at the time. It was the unknowns. But we've all accepted that as part of our daily life. We all have a phone, so we've all contributed to the problem. So I think what we have to do is we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, so we just have to figure out the best way to address the negative effects of what a data center does.
Yeah, that's why you take time and you study it. And again, I'm the weirdest person to be defending data centers because I hate AI so much, but it's because we all use them. Literally, the people who were up there reading off of their phones why data centers are bad were using data centers while they were it's amazing, absolutely amazing. So anyway, you had, various people raising other kinds of observations, like other counties are banning this. Why don't you?
A question I have for all of you,
Bill Cody,
is that you're so hard pressed for this moratorium to want to do it so correctly. Are you suggesting that the attorneys in Walton County or Escambia County are reckless in their jobs by doing a permanent ban? So why is it okay for our two neighboring counties to do it, but we have to go through a moratorium?
Walton's already done it. Escambia is planning to do it.
Mr. Chairman, I would point out, with all deference to the county attorneys in Walton and Escambia County, one who made the announcement sua sponte on her own to get an applause from the audience, that Walton County, although they have their own issues, there have been plenty of headlines that they've been involved in litigation for decades, costing their counties millions of dollars of attorney's fees. Santa Rosa has had the good fortune over the years to have several good legal advisors, and Santa Rosa County has had an absence of such headlines in such cases.
So, not to be a jerk about it, but Walton's had a lot of money spent on losing law cases. Escambia's had a lot of money lost on losing law cases. Look at us, sitting pretty. Why don't you listen to me more? keep listening to me. You're not wrong for wanting to listen to me. So he was so right about that. And then you had other objections. I mean, Jerry Cooey knew he had lost the weird political effort to make Kerry look bad, even though Kerry was giving him more of what he wanted than he was asking for.
Okay, I can see which way this is going to go.
We all can.
So here's what I ask. I ask a public commitment from each of you, and I mean say it. Pick the microphone up and say it, that you will immediately start staff in the path for the permanent ban. Maybe that's a reasonable compromise here.
Mr. Chairman, it's just not a compromise. That's in the actual ordinance. It directs staff in the wording.
Okay.
If you'd actually read the backup material, it's actually in the ordinance that what you're demanding they do is already what they're getting ready to vote to do at the next meeting. So Colton reads that part.
what Tom was referencing is in the proposed ordinance. It says the board finds it necessary that a temporary one-year moratorium is necessary and appropriate to allow county staff to study the issues and prepare proposed amendments to the comprehensive plan and land development code, including time for staff review, public input, drafting, notice, hearings, adoption, and implementation of appropriate regulations. And the board has conducted the necessary hearings and has determined that the adoption of this ordinance is in the best interests of citizens of Santa Rosa County, Florida.
Oh, you mean the thing that I'm up here demanding you promise to do is already in the documents for the subject at hand, that the vote you're ever going to take is already going to authorize us to do? Okay, cool. I'm going to sit down now. 725 on News Radio 92.3. So they didn't vote because, of course, there has to be a second hearing. I expect they will vote. But it is, I mean, Colton is sort of lightly raising the same questions I'm raising, which is, okay, you don't want any data centers. You just don't want them next to your house. You don't want them in Santa Rosa County. What size don't you want? What businesses are already using them? There are businesses that already have them. Like Navy Federal has a data center, you know, not to out anybody, but I mean, you know, like there are data centers already. So it's crazy. It's just a wild thing to watch. And I'm glad to hear Tom and some of the other commissioners kind of explaining it to folks. And I am frankly glad that the socialists didn't cross over and, you know, bring 30 people with them to waste all of our time for 3 hours yesterday. Candy has traffic on the fives.
Looks like roads are fine. Not showing any slowdowns on 90 or 98. I-10, I-110 completely clear right now. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know. 437-1620, text it in. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. If you have a roof repair or replacement that needs to be done, Quality Roofing Solutions will take care of that. And they'll just treat you like a normal person. Like, that's the idea. Brian Ward started this company 20 years ago, and the goal was, let's do reasonable work, good quality work for a reasonable price. Let's do what we said we're going to do, and let's talk to people and treat them like, you know, normal people want to be treated. Answer their questions, answer their phone calls, not talk down to them, not insult them, just do the right thing. And now 20 years later, 10,000 roofs later, and a 4.9 rating on Google, which is amazing, and they warranty all their roofs for lifetime workmanship. I mean, it's working. And they're invested in the community. They do all kinds. There's all kinds of reasons why Quality Roofing Solutions makes great sense. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
God answers our prayers one of three ways: yes, wait, or no. When God says yes, we rejoice. When God says wait, we learn patience. When God says no, we are reminded that He is God, because if God couldn't say no, then He wouldn't be God, we would be. As our loving Father, He says no to His children, and we submit to His will. As our King, He says no, and we bow our knee. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asks God three times to remove a thorn in the flesh, and essentially, God says no. But God told Paul, "I will give you grace to handle your trial." Sometimes God says no to our request, but then He says yes to sufficient grace to help in the time of need.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Good morning, 7:30 News Radio 92.3. Yes, Candy, you want to weigh in?
Why do you hate AI? I was trying to ask you off air.
Oh, short version?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, some of it's very useful for data synthesizing and searching through, like, data fields, but primarily because the most common applications of it are threatening to take away from us what we are most human in doing. Writing, art, producing videos, so criticism, expression. Those are things that
you
I think
laziness.
Make us human, and I want people to actually be human. I believe in the humanities.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Pause and strikes from the U.S. military directed at Iran.
So far today, we haven't seen any military action. And President Trump still saying the diplomatic channel does still remain open. Israel now sharing intelligence with D.C., showing that Iran has developed a new plot to assassinate President Trump. And there were numerous banners at the Ayatollah's funeral, he was buried just this morning, calling for President Trump's death.
Fox's Benjamin Hall in London. The New York Times reports Qatar is attempting to de-escalate the tensions. Today expected to be the final day in the preliminary hearing for Tyler Robinson, accused of killing Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley University last September. On Thursday, prosecutors played video of Robinson's former roommate and lover, Lance Twiggs, saying that Robinson told him he wished he had not done it. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a, start to a very nice day. Again, we've got 82 degrees, partly cloudy skies, and we'll get a look at our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us up in just a few minutes. A one-year pause on data centers might not be enough for at least one Santa Rosa County Commissioner. Bobby Burkett spoke up during yesterday's public hearing on the proposed moratorium. He says he's on board with it for now, but only because the county attorney says it's the legally sound first step, one that keeps the county safe from the Burt Harris Act lawsuits while permanent rules get written. What Burkett actually said he wants is a ban for good.
This is beat this dead horse and wasted more taxpayer money and time. It's almost like a 200-foot flag. Blows my mind. But here we are. Okay. I want a permanent ban. I don't want a moratorium. I don't want a data center here. I have 8 grandchildren, 4 children lives in this county. They're my most important decision that I make. That's the only reason I decided to run for here. I didn't need this headache.
And Burkett wasn't alone with those thoughts. Nearly 2 dozen residents packed the hearing. Most of them told commissioners to skip the moratorium and ban data centers outright. Of course, no vote was taken. Commissioners will have a second public hearing with a possible final vote on July 23rd. Santa Rosa County creating a brand new zoning category aimed at protecting farmland. Commissioners gave initial approval this week to begin the process for what's being called agricultural legacy zoning. That would allow just one home for every 30 acres. The new district goes beyond the county's existing rural protection zone restrictions. Escambia County's Planning Board approved a big land use change in Beulah this week, shifting 540 acres, that's the OLF 8 property in Beulah, towards more housing. One board member voted no on that.
I don't feel that this went through the proper process to get the input from the citizens to make that kind of change.
And that is board member Jonathan Owens. He talked to Channel 3 and says the shift gives developers more flexibility than the original master plan allowed. County commissioners will still have to weigh in on that change. A 68-year-old Pensacola man has died after a crash in Santa Rosa County yesterday. It happened in the 8100 block of Fish Camp Road in Milton. Troopers say the man was driving south on Ward Basin Road when he failed to stop at a dead end and drove into the Yellow River. He died at the scene. No further details have been released. It is 7:34 here at News Radio 92.3.
Santa Rosa County's Movie in the Park series continues tonight at Benny Russell Park in Pace. The county's going to be showing Disney and Pixar's Inside Out on a large outdoor screen that starts at sunset with free admission and popcorn.
Movie in the Park, Friday night. It'll start about 8 o'clock when it gets dark enough to see the screen.
That is Sabrina White, Assistant County Administrator. The county says to bring a blanket or a lawn chair, and there could also be local food trucks on site. The series runs through September. 7:35, let's check in with Candy, who's got our traffic on the fives.
All right, we're not showing any slowdowns right now. All exits off I-10, I-110 reporting as clear. There was a bad accident on the Bayway early this morning, or the causeway rather, in Mobile, and it looks like both are cleared. The tunnel's fine if you happen to be heading in that direction. I-10, I-110 showing no delays. 98 accident-free. If you see that accident or slowdown, you can certainly let us know. Text it in, 437-1620. It's Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Candy. And our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We do have a 30% chance of rain today with temperatures warming up into the 90s, feeling more like the triple digits with that humidity. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping to 82. For Saturday, 30% chance of rain with mostly sunny skies mixed in, 92 degrees for your high. Saturday night, temperatures dropping to 81. Going into Sunday, 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping to 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
82 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are moderately higher as Middle East supply risks persist as tensions flare between the U.S. and Iran. West Texas Intermediate at roughly $72 a barrel, Brent at $76. The latest developments in the conflict between the U.S. and Iran have call sheet traders thinking that gas prices will remain elevated for a longer period of time. They now place a 75% chance that gas prices on November 3rd will be above $3.50 per gallon and 39% odds that prices will be higher than $3.75. AAA data says that before the Iran war, gas prices were below $3 a gallon. Josh Allen spoke with CNBC after announcing a partnership with Sleep Aid Natural. Allen said doing a post-NFL broadcasting job would be cool if he can keep it from a strictly broadcasting angle. There have been many TV opportunities for former NFL quarterbacks in recent years. Futures are mixed. NASDAQ futures down by more than 100 points. Yesterday, the Dow gained 139. The NASDAQ up 336. That's Your Money Now.
It is Christina Leavenworth with the Leavenworth team at Levin Rinky Realty.
Hey, this is Delino with the Boot Store.
Hey, I'm Jonathan Cook, owner of Jonathan's Construction Flooring.
What do these businesses have in common? They've trusted our years of marketing experience at ADX Communications.
I enjoy working with the great team with this radio station. Dependable, local, professional, result-driven ADX Communications.
We have advertised with Cat Country 98.7 over the past 10 years. Because we know radio works and Cat Country reaches our target audience.
I always love referring business over to ADX Communications for the best radio advertising out there.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, Sports Radio Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today, 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
Get ready for the News Radio 92.3 Naval Aviation Museum Foundation broadcast of the 2026 Blue Angels Air Show on Pensacola Beach. Hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio or download our app. Then tune in Friday at 2 and then Saturday starting at 11 to hear all the narration from the News Radio team and the Blue Angels. Brought to you by Jim's Firearms, Dale's Marine Construction, Quality Roofing Solutions, Pensacola Beach RV Resort, and Buggy Works.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Time for us to talk to Ryan Jenkins, our good friend and the farmer, owner Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Hey, Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. It's always good to hear your voice. You don't know how many people get a hold of me throughout the month and like, when's Ryan coming back? I'm like, first Friday of the month, except for when I'm on vacation. So, but people do love listening to you. You are a voice in their lives. I absolutely guarantee it. Let's talk about kind of bad story that happened first. In Escambia County, we had a death, unfortunately, because a man got crushed by a tractor that moved suddenly somehow or other. And I don't know more of the details. I know North Escambia had reported on that. I don't know if you know any of the details or not, but to me, it was more of a, it highlights the fact that, you know, farming is dangerous. And as you always do this briefing every year for the EMS and first responders, the unique problems that can be created by farm incidents are, you know, a special challenge, right?
It is. I mean, it's a very dangerous profession that we're in. A lot of it just has to do with the sheer size of the equipment and the environment that we're working in. So it's a dangerous time. I haven't heard. My goal is to find out what happened so we can incorporate that into our safety day every year. But I can tell you that I have no idea. I know not a single fact about what happened. But to your listeners, you know, a lot of these older tractors, the smaller, older tractors like your grandparents had, like you see people using in their gardens or their food plots or things like that, you know, they're old, and a lot of people, the starter mechanism will tear up, the switch will tear up, all the safety switches kind of go away over the years. And what happens is a lot of people will start their tractor. While they're standing there, they'll use a screwdriver to jump across a couple of posts and start their tractor manually that way instead of using a key and all the safety features. And sometimes it'll be in gear and it'll run over them. And that, I know several people that have happened, that has happened too. And that causes a lot of deaths every year. Now, I don't know if that has anything I know nothing about the case.
Right, right.
It's Escambia County. But I'm just saying that for the listeners that are out there. You know, a lot of these people that get run over from doing that have done this for years and years and years and years, and they get complacent or they think it's out of gear and it's not, and next thing you know, somebody's gotten run over that way. So, you know, it's dangerous. That's just one small, you know, piece of the puzzle of how people get hurt on the farm every year, but it happens frequently. I can probably name 5 people in our area that I know that's happened to, just in our little area.
And I know that, you know, people, again, don't necessarily think about all the safety concerns around farming, but, you know, you and I have talked about things like they build a safety feature into the tractors, and then that makes it hard to work on the tractor yourself, so you disable that safety feature in order to keep your tractor functioning because, you know, come harvest time or planting time, it's got to be able to work. And it's all this, it's kind of like the battle of, sometimes it's the battle of the manufacturers against cost and inconvenience. Sometimes, like as you're talking about, it's the battle of just age and worn down parts versus ingenuity and not wanting to pay to fully replace. I mean, there's just all of these things become factors that can hurt people or kill people, unfortunately. I wanted to ask you if, you know, the Rural and Family Lands Program has gotten $425 million into the Florida budget. We've also got, like, the down zoning possibility in Santa Rosa County. Now Rhett Rowell has put that in to have a one structure to 30 acres instead of one structure to 15 acres. I didn't know if you had any thoughts about all of this. I know you've been very active on trying to find ways to conserve land in general in Santa Rosa County. So I'll kind of give you the floor if you have anything to say about any of that.
Yeah, all that stuff is very important. And, you know, I've said all the time, since you and I have been talking, I've said many times, it's a slippery slope on saving farmland. You want to save as much farmland as you can, but at the same time, I don't want to force anyone into doing something that they don't want to do, if that makes sense.
Absolutely,
yeah. I don't want to be told what I can and can't do with my land. But at the same time, I keep referring to all these different programs as tools in the toolbox. If somebody would like to do that, I want them to have options. Before, there haven't really been any options if they did want to do something like that. So now, some of these programs will allow someone that has farmland to save it. So they can get a monetary, they can get something, they can get money for selling their rights to be able to develop their land or whatever. And they can have some money to work with now, and it'll say that, hey, from here on out, this is going to be farmland for perpetuity. So it protects that farmland from there for the rest of time. But that doesn't work for everyone. I just want there to be plenty of options available if somebody wants to help conserve farmland.
Yeah,
we've talked about how much farmland we're losing on a daily basis across the country, and that's not changing. We're still losing a lot of farmland, but maybe with some of these programs, it'll fit some person's needs, and they will be able to preserve farmland so that we can provide food and fiber for our people for the rest of our lives. You know, we've talked about being able to provide our own food as a matter of national security.
Right.
I don't believe there's another issue as big. If we can't provide our own food and we have to rely on another country to do it, then then they own us. If they want to cut us off and starve to death, that's what will happen. So it's very important that we're able to provide our own food, and we're going to have our own land first to be able to provide our own food. So.
No, I totally agree. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Hang on for just a second, Ryan. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns in Jay, Florida. It looks like everything in Santa Rosa and Escambia County doing just fine right now. No issues. If you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620, you can text it in. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Ryan Jenkins. Ryan, what are y'all up to right now? Are we in a lull period for you farming-wise? What's going on?
I wouldn't say it's a lull. The weather has, I would say our crops on average. Now, there are some that got planted on time, granted, but I would say just kind of on average, I feel like our crops are about 30 days or so behind. We're about a month behind on average is kind of the general feel, which is tough. And the weather, you know, we started with a drought, and then we've had a lot of rain, and the rain, obviously, it's a good thing, but it's caused us to be a little bit later than we would like to be. And, you know, we're kind of playing catch up. So when it rains a lot, the weeds are growing. We're not able to get in there and do anything with it. The cotton's growing. We have to put growth regulator on it. I know it sounds crazy. We want it to grow, but we also want it to slow down and make fruit versus spending all its energy just the plant growing itself.
That makes sense.
So we've got all that going on. We're trying to get our fertilizer put out in a timely manner before the crop gets so big that you can't get over it, and before it gets past where it really needs the nutrients so much. So there's a lot going on currently. Hopefully, things are looking good. I'll say that. Things are looking a lot better. They're just so late, and it's hard to – you always, you know, when I was a kid, you said you wanted to be laid by the 4th of July, which means you wanted to be kind of through with your taking care of the crop other than insecticide-wise. You wanted all this stuff done. You wanted your cotton to be thigh-high by the 4th of July. I mean, all those are old-timey sayings. But this year, there wasn't any of that. So we've got about another good month of working and trying to play catch-up. And then I hope by the time that we talk again in August, we've started shelling corn. The corn crop, our corn crop looks really good this year. So I think we're to the point now where we've had enough rain. If it didn't rain, if it were to turn off dry for the next few weeks, that it wouldn't really affect it that much. So hopefully, knock on wood, our corn crop will be good and they'll start us off to a good season.
I know last year with the budget shutdown, you ran into the very serious problem of not getting a funding source in a timely way that you needed in order to pay back your loans properly. If you're a month behind on your schedule, is that going to have a similar effect of pushing you past a deadline for paying back a loan before you get paid for the harvest? Is that an issue, or am I interpreting this wrong?
It would be if it were longer, but, you know, just a month is not that big of an issue. You know,
okay.
Last year it was just there was no end in sight, and you didn't know when it was going to be fixed,
right,
type thing. So this year, that part of the scenario looks much better.
Okay, well, that means good news.
We're still dealing with high fuel prices and high fertilizer prices.
Now, that was my next question. Okay, so, yeah, how is the price of diesel and fertilizer doing for you right now?
The diesel was doing a little bit better, still very high, but now I guess it sounds like we're starting to fight again or whatever. I think the prices are already going back up. The fertilizer prices, regardless of what, I know the Department of Ag kind of makes it look like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. These farmers pre-purchase their fertilizer, so it really did. I don't know a single, I'm sure there's a farmer somewhere in another part of the country that does that, but in our area, we're not able to pre-purchase our fertilizer. So we've paid the highest price that we've had in the whole cycle for our fertilizer. And so we're really struggling with the fuel and fertilizer prices. Let me just put it that way. It's not been good.
All right. Well, that's, you know, you said it still looks like it's going to be a fairly good year. The weather's sort of cooperating a lot better than it did at the beginning of the year. And, you know, I will take those as wins. We always like to hear if there's a farm fact that you can end with. Ryan, do you have one for me today?
There he is. This is for July 4th. And I tell you, I don't know. I've said this before. I don't know where these people shop at. But American Farm Bureau. I'm looking for this place. I want to shop there. I want to live there.
Oh, I know it. You're talking like the price of a Thanksgiving meal is so much. I'm like, for who?
So we always do the Thanksgiving meal. Excuse me. And they also do a 4th of July cookout.
Okay.
So they said a classic 4th of July cookout for 10 people this year costs $73.82.
Oh, come on.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what did they eat? Pencils?
What, are we all going to share one ribeye? I mean, like, what do you...
Yeah.
You'd spend 70 bucks on three ribeyes. Come on now.
But the important part is it's a 4% increase over the same thing from last year.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know where, and they must be all little people or something. That they're, I don't know. I'm like, I can go to Whataburger and eat $73 worth of stuff by myself.
Well, that's just because you're an overachiever, Ryan. I mean, I think that's...
Hey, if I'm going to do it, I do it right.
I know. Well, Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. We check in with him once a month, usually on the first Friday of the month, but obviously last week I was out. So, Ryan, as always, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate you feeding my kids and putting clothes on their back and talking to us and helping us understand, you know, what's going on in the life of such a significant portion of the economic activity of our two counties. Thank you for everything you do. We'll talk to you again next month, sir.
Thanks for having us, y'all. Good weekend.
Absolutely. 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got about 300 cars, trucks, vans, SUVs on the lot, and you can, you know, shop a bunch of them. Go see the buffet of cars. You know, try five or six. You know, a lot of times what happens is, you know, you have to drive around all different places, and you have to meet a new salesperson in every place, and you drive one car. And then you go to the next place, and you meet another person, and you tell them your life story, and then you drive another car. And then by about the time you've done the third one, first of all, you're exhausted from meeting all these people who you always feel like they're trying to get something on you. And then, you know, do you remember what the first car was like by the time you drive the third one? And if you do it all in a day, man, it's exhausting. Well, go to Frontier. It's, you know, meet one person and only barely if you want to, and then drive like six cars. And then you can side-by-side compare them. I mean, what was it like in that first one again? Because I thought I seen something. Now I want to go. Exactly. It's right there. You can go check it out. Good quality used cars, 1 to 3 years, four maybe years young, 10 to 30, 40,000 miles. They warranty everything to 100,000 miles or 10 years. They're taking care of you. They're only selling good quality cars, good prices. And they've been there for 29 years. They're going to be there. They're there to take care of you for the long haul. So they treat you like they want to see you again and again and again. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board, District 3.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Join Vinny Matassa and Helen Council from Kana O'Donovan Real Estate today at 9 a.m. on Pep Talk. Learn about today's real estate market. Find out what the best agents do for their clients. And you'll hear why Vinny says the market is not the same as it's been in recent years. On Pep Talk today at 9 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
Parquet margarine.
Butter.
No, parquet. It says right on your lid, parquet margarine.
Butter.
Smooth. Delicious. Butter.
Parquet.
Good morning, 7:57 here on News Radio 92.3. Parquet. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And, we got a lot of stuff going on. Candy actually has traffic on the sevens, you know, whatever.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, man. That's my Biden impression. As we take a look at our roads, we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. All exits off I-10, I-110 reported as clear. We had a backup at Pensacola NAS over the bridge, but that's clear now, too. 437-1620. You see that accident or slowdown, you can text it in. With traffic on the 7th.
I feel like that was a little bit of a dare.
Come on, man.
Not lined up. I had to go find it.
But I've been saying that a lot. And Darren was fingers, like, though. Who are you, Biden? I'm like, that's where I got that from.
You and Corn Pop. All right.
Corn Pop. Yeah, he's a bad dude.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. 8 people have now been indicted for allegedly plotting that attack at the White House UFC event. Court documents have revealed by the Justice Department yesterday show Chandler Scruggs of West Virginia is the latest person to face charges in that case. He was allegedly planning to act as one of the snipers. The Mississippi NAACP is calling for a full and transparent investigation into the death of a black teenager who disappeared during a 4th of July boating trip. 18-year-old Nolan Wells was apparently found dead on Horn Island on the coast of Mississippi days after being reported missing. And Andrew, another heat dome of doom is moving across the country. Forecaster.
Sure, it's not a double helix heat dome of doom with the ultraviolet radiation and data center enhancements.
And these heat domes, they must be the result of the data center.
Well, obviously.
It has to be it, yeah.
Yeah, go on.
That's it. That's pretty much it, yeah.
Sorry, interrupted you. Sorry.
I don't have any more real details on this heat dome of doom other than it's moving across the nation.
David, thanks so much for the
update.
Not to end the hour on a really kind of a sad note, but it's an informational piece I want you to know. I was reading, there's a study that's been done on things that are dangerous to pregnant women, and especially those who are working. And the primary thing that they discovered has the highest risk of miscarriage, causing a miscarriage or influencing risk miscarriage for women, is if you have to bend over a lot at work. It's like a 30% increase in your risk of miscarriage, more than any other single factor at work. 92.3.